may be surprised to hear that I am not a scientist. My husband is. He has a degree in environmental science and policy. And my 9-year-old is. He's been a scientist since he was able to walk and talk and look at the world with his big, beautiful blue eyes. Just last night, he was looking at his blood under a microscope, which is really creepy to me, but he was really enjoying it, looking at it, and he was marveling at the movement of the cells in his microscope. And I said, "Isn't it magical, Desi?" And he said, "No, Mom, it's not magic, it's science." I wonder how many people here today have taken BeliefNet's online quiz. Has anyone taken that? It tells you, it's a quiz, it has about 25 questions, and from these questions, it will tell you what religion you should be. Quite a few people end up taking that quiz and discovering Unitarian Universalism that way, because they didn't know it existed before, and they already had the belief. So I took that quiz about 8 years ago, and then I took it again this week, and I compared the results, and I discovered that my theological identity has not changed. I am still 100% Unitarian Universalist. The quiz said that my second identity was probably liberal Quaker, but goodness gracious, I could not sit in a worship service for an hour in silence. Can you imagine? I just couldn't do it. When I worship, I prefer music and words and movement, and you know, if it was up to me, we'd all be jumping in the aisles and saying hallelujah. But I know it's not up to me. My third identity was ranked 90% is humanist. Our individual congregations take a survey every few years to see what the theological makeup of the congregation is, and it asks what faith traditions are important to your personal spiritual development, whether it be Buddhism or Christianity or paganism, atheism. The results of the most recent congregational survey here at the U Church of Sarasota show that the majority of us self-identify as humanists. So I wanted to interview the first settled minister of this congregation, Reverend Corin Arizin, but I was unable to get in touch with him, so I was unable to do the interview part of that, but hopefully I'll be able to get a chance to do that in the future because he seems like a fascinating man. In a sermon last September, Roger pulled apart the Humanist Manifesto, and he asked folks to raise their hand as he listed the principles, if you agreed or you disagreed or you just weren't sure. So I'm not going to dig into the Humanist Manifesto again today. I know I raised my hand, and I agreed with many of the principles, not all of them, as Roger did, as many of you did. But I wonder, if we look at humanism beyond the manifesto and instead got a feel for it in a broader sense, would we all identify as humanist? Former president of the UUA, Reverend Bill Sinkford, he thinks so. I read an article recently that he had written to Starr King Theological School, which is out in California, where Roger got his MDiv. You know that other theological school? I go to Meadville in Chicago, so. So in this letter, Reverend Sinkford noted that we all know that there are no other hands on earth but our own. That we as Unitarian Universalists are the change makers. That we are the meaning makers. Last year I spoke with Reverend Katie Korb, who is serving our St. Pete congregation as their consulting minister. And she also believes that all UUs are humanist. And when she told me this, I pushed back a little on that assumption. I think it's because I thought it was kind of blasphemy to say that we're all anything as Unitarian Universalists. But I gave it some thought, and I think she might be right. Humanism affirms the worth and dignity of all beings. It calls for us to take care of one another, to take responsibility for our actions, to not rely on a supernatural deity to take care of the world for us. Bill Schultz, another former president of the UUA, now president of the service committee, and I'll add one of my favorite professors at Meadville who taught my preaching class, says that we are a religious movement that emphasizes human capabilities especially the human capacity to reason, that adopted the scientific method to search for truth, and that promoted the right of all human beings to develop their full potential. So the UU Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, began holding several services a few years ago. Three services, in fact. They have a humanist service, and they have a contemporary worship service, and they have a traditional worship service. And all three of the services uplift a forward-thinking, rational, scientific worldview imbued with philosophical and poetic and literary and historical elements. The humanist service differs a little bit because there's no prayers and there's no hymns or scripture reading and no language of reverence, using words like God, sacred, holy, spirit, etc. But the sermons at all three of these worship services at All Souls are the same message, and they're just tweaked a little bit to fit into those worships. The minister in Tulsa, Marlon Levenhar, who I adore, if you ever get a chance to get online and you just want to watch some sermons, that's what I do in my spare time, he is fabulous. UU Church, All Souls in Tulsa. So he believes that we can hold different beliefs and be united by who we are and how we are in the world. He said, everyone who comes to a UU Church is looking for a religion that will not be an embarrassment to their sanity or an insult to their intelligence. Fred Edwards writes that religious humanism offers a basis for moral values, an inspiring set of ideals, methods for dealing with life's harsh realities, a rationale for living life joyously, and an overall sense of purpose. The Unitarian Universalist Church of Sarasota, here we offer a sense of belonging in an institutional setting for the moral teaching of our children. We celebrate special holidays with like-minded individuals, and we engage in unique ceremonies and ceremonial life like we did this morning with Emory's rite of passage, the bridging ceremony. We also have weddings and memorial services, child dedications. This church here offers us an opportunity to affirm our individual philosophies of life, and it provides a historical context for our ideas. We walk together in a common purpose, and we are happiest when we serve others. Religious humanism is faith in action. In his essay, The Faith of a Humanist, UU minister Kenneth Pfeiffer declares, humanism teaches us that it is immoral to wait for God to act for us. We must act to stop the wars and the crimes and the brutality of this and future ages. We have powers of an unremarkable kind. We have a high degree of freedom in choosing what we will do. Humanism tells us that whatever our philosophy of the universe may be, ultimately the responsibility for the kind of world in which we live rests with us. Which reminds me of a story. So there is these two construction workers, and they were working very hard one day, and it was time for a break. So they sat down to eat, and one of them, Bill, opened up his lunch bag, and he looked inside, and he said, "Dang it, peanut butter and jelly again!" And his friend, John, looked at him and said, "Why don't you just ask your wife to make you something else for lunch?" And he turned to him and said, "Oh, I make my own lunch." So here's another story. There's a country song by Carrie Underwood titled "Jesus Take the Wheel." Some of you may have heard it. I don't know if you're big country music fans like I am, but I love Carrie Underwood. But this song makes my family crack up. She tells the, of course, probably a lot of my music does. She tells the story of a woman who is driving down the road on a snowy evening, and her car hits a patch of ice, and she raises her hands in the air, and she says, Jesus, take the wheel. Says, take the wheel from my hands. And so when my family hears this, they hoot and holler and they say, are you crazy, lady? Don't take your hands off the wheel. You will crash your car. You are driving the car, not Jesus. So what will protect us from a car crash or a life crash? Some think that we'll be saved by a supernatural power, but we think that what's going to really save us is each other and ourselves and better driving skills and quality medical care. That'd be good. And seatbelts. Always wear your seatbelt. When we hit a patch of ice, we keep our hands on the wheel and we try to keep control as best we can and we ask for help from one another. Human beings help us drive when we just can't do it alone. So humanists believe that we are driving the car, that we are making our own lunch. We choose how we will be in this world, and it is not out of fear of eternal damnation. It is because we are loving people who strive to live ethical lives. I saw an image on the internet recently that said, if you need hell to be a good person, then you might not be a very good person. We don't need hell to be good people. As William Murray writes in his book, Reason and Reverence, for centuries, people looked to theistic religion for meaning and purpose in their lives. But religious humanism can play this role. To be fully human means to become more spiritual in the sense of seeking and finding deeper meaning and purpose in life. By affirming the primacy of such values as love and social, economic, and racial justice, religious humanism provides the foundation for this deeper meaning. And we affirm these values together. We freely choose to come together in this religious community. When I was a child, we went to church every Sunday. My mother took us every Sunday, and I'm pretty sure, I can guarantee you, if my father had been given a choice, he would have been at the lake instead of at church. I am grateful that we are making this choice, that we have chosen to come together in worship, that you have chosen this church, that you have chosen this religion, that you are gathering together to feel connected and inspired and live lives of purpose and meaning, that you come to dip your fingers into the well of truth and be refreshed, that you come to feel hope. Humanism is a source of hope. There is hope for the human capacity to create goodness, and there is hope found in our engagement with one another and with creating wholeness in the world. But there are times of hopelessness. And where do we turn then? How do we make sense of it? Is humanism enough? Humanism for me is most deeply reinforced when I think about how we approach death and how we conduct memorial services. A couple of weeks ago, as many of you know, I went to my 29-year-old nephew's funeral in Texas, and I was dreading it. Not only because of the deep sorrow I was feeling, but also because I was anticipating that the preacher at the funeral would tell us that this was all part of God's plan and that God needed another angel in heaven or that Micah was in a better place now. Have y'all been to those funerals? They're just downright awful. But the minister didn't do that, thankfully. She did read some scripture and she did pray with us and but she did not deny the scientific truth that Mikey died from a heart attack. And she never said any of those placating words that I've heard from other ministers. And I keep telling myself I need to send her a thank you card for that. As I sat in that church, I wept. Seeing my sister's pain as grief rolled over her like waves in the ocean, I thought about the fragility of life. Mikey died in his sleep, and no one would have ever anticipated that a young, vivacious man such as him would leave us so soon. I thought, how critical is it for us to live our lives now? how grateful I am to belong to a religious community of people who embrace life with such a passion, with an understanding that everything that we do impacts one another, with an understanding that this life, this existence, is what it's all about. I thought about the power of a memorial service, the power of coming together to celebrate the life of a loved one who has died in a way that welcomes all into a place of comfort and care, that restores our belief in the integrity of life, that helps us recover our perspective. And I thought about this song. This song was written by Phil Oakes and performed by Ani DeFranco. There's an artist in Memphis who put together a slideshow. He has a nonprofit organization called Focus on the Good, which uses photography to raise awareness of and money for the impoverished in the Memphis community. He teaches photography to underprivileged children so that they can develop a voice and be able to tell their story. And he provides affordable professional photography services to area nonprofit organizations. So when I hear this song and I saw these photos that we're about to see right now, to me, it really speaks to what is at the core of religious humanism.
There's no place in this world where I belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone, and you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't feel the flowing of the time when I'm gone, and all the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour a lyric line when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't breathe, breathe, when I'm gone. I can't even worry about my cares when I'm gone. And I won't be asked to do my share when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. I won't be running from the rain when I'm gone. I won't suffer from my pain when I'm gone. And I can't say who's to blame gone, so I guess I'll do it while I'm here. And I won't see the golden of the sun when I'm gone, and all the evenings and the mornings they'll just be one when I'm gone. And I can't be singing louder than the guns when I'm gone, so I guess I'll do it while I'm here. And all my days won't be dances of delight when I'm gone. And the sands will be shifting from my side when I'm gone. I can't add my name to the fight when I'm gone, so I guess I have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be laughing at the lies when I'm gone, and I can't question how or when or why when I'm gone. And I can't live proud enough to die when I'm gone. So I guess I do it while I'm here. Yeah, there's no place in this world where I belong when I'm gone. Oh, and I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. You will find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here.
So to me, that is the essence. That is the essence of humanism. We have to do it while we're here. We breathe in and we breathe out and we see one another. We feel another's joy and we feel another's sorrow, and we take responsibility for both. All those beautiful humans, we are connected to each and every one of them. This one life we have is so precious, and the lives around us are so delicate. In this earth, this amazing earth, it is ours. It is our responsibility. It takes my breath away. We are called to teach the fragile art of hospitality, to revere both the critical mind and the generous heart, to prove that diversity need not mean divisiveness, and to witness to all that we must hold the whole world in our hands.